feeling a tornado. He wheeled his truck around and hauled ass. Instead of heading straight back toward Elk City, he drove south along the width of the storm. As he drove, he reported what he was seeing to the Weather Service, and the Weather Service was reporting what it knew to him. The anemometer on top of his truck recorded the speed of the winds being sucked into the storm, 79 miles per hour. The Weather Service told him they'd had reports of hail that was bigger than baseballs. Traveling 80 miles an hour down a dirt road in a pelting rain, he was all the time thinking about what to do. Wait to make sure he'd seen what he'd seen? Or phone the Weather Service and trigger a tornado warning that set off the town siren? "So you sit here and make this decision," he said, "and I think, who is going to dispute my word? So I called the Weather Service." He came upon a sight that pulled him up short, downed power lines. The poles that had held them were gone, as if they had never been there. The tornado had crossed his path and leaped ahead of him. How, he did not know. He thought the storm was chasing him. Now, apparently, he was chasing the storm. Then he saw it. But it took him a moment to realize what he was seeing. It wasn't like a tornado in the movies. "It looks like the cloud was on the ground," he said. "It was 1,000 yards wide." For the next 20 minutes, he followed the cloud's trail of destruction. Dead cows everywhere, shattered oak trees, a school bus turned into a twisted pile of metal. Cars piled on top of each other, upside down in a pond. He knew the landscape well enough to see what it was missing. Big trees, telephone poles, mobile homes. "You could say, there used to be a house there," he said. One house he passed was only partially destroyed. It looked as if some giant had tried to dissect it. The front half had been ripped away so that he could see all the way back into the television room. The big red barn that had been right next to it had vanished without a trace. The house belonged to Miss Finley, an old woman who lived alone. Lonnie's job wasn't emergency rescue. He was meant to be the eyes on the storm, but he stopped anyway, to see if he could find her. As he searched the ruins, a truck came flying up. "It was Miss Finley's son," said Lonnie. "He said she had gone to the town shelter." When you are chasing a cloud, there's a question of how fast to go. Lonnie perhaps went too fast. Soon he found himself staring at a subdivision of new homes, all destroyed. "I'm looking over at these houses, and all I see is sticks," he said. Debris was now crashing around his truck. He looked up and saw a huge piece of tin. "I got large stuff falling out the sky," he said. "I can't go any further." All along, his phone had been ringing. The Weather Channel, CNN, MSNBC. All these TV people were calling to find out what had happened. The truth is, he didn't know, and it took him a bit of time to figure it out. It turned out that more than 200 homes in Elk City had been destroyed, along with 38 businesses. A lot of property had been lost, but, and here's what shocked him, people had mostly kept out of harm's way. Karen Snyder had refused to leave her cats and had been found, alive and well, with the ruins of her house on top of her. Gene Mickles had called the sheriff to ask if he should seek shelter, had been told that he should, and had started to the shelter, but then returned to his home to grab his phone. He'd been found dead on the ground outside. "Only one fatality and 8 bruises," said Lonnie. "What I think happened is that people listened to the warning." The town shelter had been so crowded that they had to lead people into the basement of the fire station. On the morning of May 16, 2017, purely by chance, a team of researchers in the Storm Prediction Center had been testing a new tornado model. Even after they varied their assumptions about the conditions of the atmosphere, the model generated tornadoes. The images were clear and consistent. Later, the researchers said it was as if they had seen the storm in the real world. Everyone in the weather business believed this was the future, the ability to predict a tornado, in theory, before it spun up. The ability to imagine it with precision before you could see it. Now it was happening. The researchers informed the Weather Service meteorologist on duty, and the meteorologist issued a different kind of alert. Not a warning, but a warning that a warning was very likely coming. And it had prodded Lonnie to behave as he might not have done. It made him feel the threat was real, that the storm might hit him. That feeling had caused him to trigger a warning a few minutes earlier than he might otherwise have done. "The main thing I was so excited about is we were able to set off the sirens 30 minutes before it hit," he said. Lonnie Reisenhoover knew nothing about what had happened inside the Storm Prediction Center. That was a prototype, he said. It was the first time they'd used it. I didn't know it. But he knew what he was hearing from the Weather Service staff sounded different from what he usually heard. They'd given him, in effect, a clearer sense of the odds. They'd done what Kim Klockow had been advocating for. Don't tell people what the tornado will do to them if it hits them. Instead, persuade them that the threat is real. People in Oklahoma, they're going to credit the media, said Lonnie, because that's where they are getting their information. But who they should credit is the Weather Service. The Weather Service, they don't give themselves enough credit. They say, we're just doing a job. But I don't know where we'd be without them. At dinner one night, I played a game with Kim Klockow and her friends Hank Jenkins-Smith and Carol Silva, the co-directors of the University of Oklahoma's Center for Risk and Crisis Management. They devoted their lives to studying people's response to risk. I wondered who and what was most likely to survive a tornado. If you were a tree, for instance, you'd much rather be a willow than an oak, as a willow tree bends. The risk experts all agreed they'd bet money on a horse over a cow and on a dog over a cat. Dogs are more likely to obey. They became less certain when we turned to the more complicated matter of human beings. Because they were intellectually honest academics, they were reluctant to generalize. People aren't necessarily good at managing one kind of risk just because they are good at managing another kind of risk, said Carol. People will be deathly afraid of one kind of risk and blasé about another. Still, they played along in a hypothetical game of survival. They all agreed that you'd obviously bet money on a rich person over a poor person. People who live in mobile homes are 30 times more likely to die. They take a parent over a pet owner, as animals aren't allowed in public storm shelters. Pets will kill you. They argued a bit, but finally decided they'd take a woman over a man, as men tended to be more risk-seeking. Men go outside and look around, said Carol. You see this in the tornado videos on YouTube, the wife sticking her head out the door screaming at her husband, "Hey, get your ass inside!" Finally, I asked, a liberal or a conservative? 83.5% of Beckham County had voted for Donald Trump. What did that say about their ability to survive a tornado? The liberal has the advantage of trusting the government's warning, said Hank, but the conservative has advantages too. It depended on what kind of conservative he was, they decided. If he was a radical individualist, he was a bad risk. You'd bet on the liberal to survive. But if the conservative belonged to a strong social network, a church, say, he might hear a tornado warning and trust it before it was too late. What you need is one person inside the network who is a trusted source, who trusts the government, said Hank. You need Lonnie Reisenhoover. I had in mind a final game of Survivor, but I never got around to asking them about it. Who is more likely to survive a tornado? The person who has personally experienced one, or the person who has not, and why? The advantage of experience is more or less obvious. The disadvantage of not having had the experience less so. But it might be the more important factor. All kinds of things might happen to you in life. By sheer accident, only a few of them do. That tiny subset shapes your view of the world to an alarming degree. If a tornado has never hit your town, you think it never will. You might try to imagine what will befall you if it does. The reality of the thing will still shock you. In the weeks after the Elk City tornado, Lonnie Reisenhoover toured the damage with various government officials. A man from the Federal Emergency Management Agency came through to determine who was eligible for disaster relief. While driving the man around Elk City, Lonnie spotted Miss Finley. Her house was a ruin, and her barn was gone. Surely she was eligible for relief. Lonnie stopped so the FEMA guy might speak with her. You know, said Miss Finley, for the last 10 years I prayed for a tornado to come and take that barn. I didn't think it would take the house, too. She seemed to think her reasoning self-evident. The FEMA guy said he didn't understand. Why had she been praying for a tornado to take her barn? Every time I pull out of the driveway, I'm looking at that red barn, she said. And every time I pull into the driveway, I'm looking at the red barn. At which point, Lonnie asked the FEMA guy if he was ready to leave. He wasn't. He was still puzzled. Why did it bother the woman to look at her red barn? That barn, said Miss Finley, is where my husband committed suicide 10 years ago. And so you might have good reason to pray for a tornado, whether it comes in the shape of swirling winds or a politician. You imagine the thing doing the damage that you would like to see done and no more. It's what you fail to imagine that kills you.
This has been an Audible Studios production of The Fifth Risk, written by Michael Lewis, performed by Victor Baveen. Executive producers Kristen Lang and Mike Charzik. Copyright 2018 by Michael Lewis. Sound recording copyright 2018 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.